Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah wa kafa. Wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeen astafa. Amma ba'd. فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما هو بقول شاعر قليلا ما تؤمنون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters that are listening, when we analyze and compare the Ummah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with the previous nations, the previous communities, we will see this very clear distinction between the past and the last Ummah of Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The communities of the past, whenever they had rejected the fundamental or core belief and had mocked the Nabi of the time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala immediately would punish that entire community, that entire nation would be punished. The entire ummah would be punished. We see this throughout the Quran. For an example, if we go back to the time of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, they were mocking him 900 years of da'wat, a long, long period of time, inviting them only to one thing, and that is, by use your akal, worship only one Allah, and I am the Nabi of Allah, what you people are doing is wrong. And they couldn't see the truth, and they would mock him, make masti of a Nabi of Allah. And they would say, which Allah? Who Allah? And who are you? And the Quran says, Mimma khati'atihim ughriku fa'udkhilu nara. Because of them taking the wrong decision and did not accept the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned them, punished them. And not only that, فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا, the bodies were drowned and the ruh was punished by fire. فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا, the ruh was punished by the fire. And we see also قَوْمِ فِرْعَوْن, a man who made a claim, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, from all the gods and religions out there, I am the supreme and the greatest God. This was his claim. Ana rabbukumul a'la. No one is greater than me. Walakad awhayna ila Musa an asri bi'ibadi fadrib lahum tariqan fil bahri yabasa. And then later on Allah says, faghashiyahum min al yammi ma ghashiyahum. Musa alayhi salam took Banu Israel and Fir'aun and his army came, فَغَشِيَهُمْ. And again the same punishment. Allah opened up Bahre Kulzum, the river in Egypt. and Fir'aun and his entire army was drowned. So we see in the past that anyone who rejected the sunnah of Allah was immediate action. Immediately Allah would punish them in front of the Nabi of the time. When we look at Qawm-e Thamud, for an example, Hazrat Saleh alayhi salatu was salam was sent to them. Again, did not accept the truth. فَأَخَذَتْهُمُ الصَّاعِقَةِ. The entire community was wiped out by one blast. One blast. Kima ho gaya inka. Just one blast, that's it. Everyone finished. On the spot. Qawm-e Lut, the people of Lut, what were they doing? Not only shirk, but they started something very new. Aliyazu billah. Having relationship with the same gender, which now again we see in the country that we live in, especially in the western part of the world, and this is now filtering also in other parts of the world. And how did Allah punish them? That entire earthly block was rooted out, taken up, and they were smashed down on the ground by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. Smashed down. Khatam. Unki nasal khatam ho gaya. And so everyone in the past, when we read the Quran, anyone who disobeyed, you see, one is to disobey, but one is to mock and to make masti. This is very, very dangerous, my respected brothers. Sadly, today you will find also people who have iman, they can't mock Allah and His Rasul directly with the Quran, and they know they can't do that. So instead they make masti of ulama. What do? They make masti of the malvis. So that, you know, they get a bit of taskeen, sukoon in their heart. We can do masti of them. Allah save us. Amen. This impacts seven generations. So dangerous, my respected brothers. So in the beginning, all these different communities that came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would immediately punish them in this dunya. All the messengers that are mentioned in the Quran, have a look and read of what happened to their community. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to protect his ummah and safeguard his ummah. So in his lifetime, and this is mentioned in the hadith, he said, Sa'altu Rabbi Thalathan. I made dua to my Allah for three things. When I had seen what had happened to the previous communities, I was worried. So I made dua to my Allah for three things. أَعْطَيْتَنِي إِثْنَيْنِ. And two are given to me, and one was withheld. One was withheld. Two du'as were accepted. The two du'as that were accepted, I made a du'a that Bari Ta'ala, don't punish my ummah as such that this entire ummah is completely wiped out from the face of this earth, like how the other communities were punished. Allah protect them from drowning, from calamity as such, famine. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted this dua. So here and there sometimes, some difficulty, some natural disaster, a few hundred, a thousand, that can happen. But overall, the entire ummah that is protected by the dua of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The azab-i-am, the open azab that came to the previous communities, that every single one of them was punished, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not do with this ummah in this dunya. The one dua that was not accepted is that, Ya Allah, there should not even be bloodshed amongst my followers, amongst my followers. But this dua was made mawquf, withheld. Otherwise, the scholars have mentioned the reason for this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Hakim, the All-Wise. And Allah has sent us in this dunya and we are going to be tested. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create shaitan? Shaitan was created so that insan can be tested. And so shaitan in his nature is evil. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also clearly told us that don't follow the footsteps of shaitan. So don't do the things which shaitan is inviting you to do. There are all sorts of things in this dunya you will find. That which is harmful to you, be careful. There are a lot of things that are harmful to a human being in this dunya. And we want to protect ourselves. So because insan in this dunya is going to be tested, and it is this test that will allow him later on to go to, inshallah, Jannah. You see, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted, Allah could have created a makhluk that would be completely perfect. Completely perfect. But Allah has already created a makhluk like this that is completely perfect. That is the malaika, the angels. This perfect makhluk was created before insan. But there is no test for malaika. Why? Because they have no power to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not in the way they have been created that they can do anything to disobey Allah. And then of course, if you are looking for that place in which there is only good and good and khair, Allah has created that also, and that is Jannah. And a place where there is only shar and evil and difficulty, that place has been created, that is also Jahannam. But in this dunya, all of humanity, we are all being tested. This is something that we need to understand. And so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's this dua was not accepted. And so, my respected brothers, when we compare ourselves today, living in this country, Muslims throughout the world, and when we compare ourselves to the first generation and the second generation, third generation of the Muslims, or should I say Khairul Qurun, the time of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, what do we see? We see a very simple group of people who were illiterate. They were what we call ummi, unlettered people. But all of a sudden, we see that they moved to four corners of the world and they conquered every region. They conquered every region, wherever they went. Until now, the historians can't believe this. They don't understand that. Is this some kind of magic that was done in that era? That how is it from the Arabian Peninsula, the Arabs who came out, they defeated everyone. the Roman Empire, Persian Empire, you name it, every civilization there at that time, they went up to China, they went to Europe, they went to Africa, they went here, they went everywhere. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors for them and Allah assisted them 100%? Very simple, my respected brothers and elders. Allah has clearly said in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. Even today, if you have strong iman, if you have strong iman, strong iman, strong iman doesn't mean that, you know, you are only 20 years of age and you act like 50 years of age and you become a Sufi. This is another disease in the Muslim community. Islam is teaching the people to become a Mujahid. What is it? Mujahid. Not simple curry khichri attitude people, you know. You know, you see some people walking as if the neck's going to drop off. Sahaba were not like that. Sahaba were not like that. When you look at them, they were not like that. Sahaba were incredible people, strong people. When you looked at them, these were giants. They were mujahids. They understood, they knew how to walk, they knew how to talk, they had Islamic values. They were proud of Iman and Islam. Very proud. And so why is it that today, you know, we are making dua, we are making dua, we are making dua, Bari Ta'ala, this, that. Alhamdulillah, our duas are being accepted. But Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in, in a very brief period of time, this explosion, Allah opened up, you know, everything for them. Because today we don't have the qualities of the companions, Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in. The Sahaba were the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what are the qualities of Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in today, inshallah? I just want to very briefly cover that so that we can benefit. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down angels for them in Saudi Arabia? Malaika came down, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 angels came down. When they passed away in their janazah, 70,000 angels would come. How many? Why? What was so special about them? 70,000 angels come to their janazah. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. Sa'ad ibn Abi. Oh, now I'm again going to turn this way. Umar, bring me back to this direction. Okay? But I want to finish now. I've touched on Sa'ad ibn Waqas. I have to finish him. Because I'm finding sweet and, you know, honey on my tongue, you know, I can taste it right now. So I have to finish it. So I am going to come back. Please bring me back, okay? Just say go back and I'll know, inshallah. Aajkal main bhul jata hu, to main likh kar aata hu, bhai. So what happens? Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. I said 70,000 angels come. Who is he? The third person to accept Islam. Hazrat Abu Bakr, number one. Then Hazrat Uthman. Then Hazrat Uthman, who accepted Islam. I'm not talking from about the family or the youth. From adults. Hazrat Abu Bakr, then Hazrat Uthman. Then the third person, Sa'ad ibn Waqas. Sa'ad ibn Umar was fourth year. Not talking about Khilafat, who accepted Iman. He is the third person who accepted Islam. Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas He was closely related to the mother of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We won't go into this topic, it's long. But Allah's Nabi said that he is my mamu. He is my mamu. And the first mujahid in Islam to shoot the arrow for the deen of Islam. First mujahid. And what is special about Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas? See, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him that Ya Allah, make him mustajabud da'wat. Mustajabud da'wat. And what does mustajabud da'wat mean? That whenever you raise your hands, Allah accepts your dua. He was known among Sahaba-e Kiram Ajmain. People were very scared of Hazrat Sa'ad bin Waqas. So you would find people who were severely ill, blind people coming to him. Usually there was a queue at his door. Hazrat, make dua, Hazrat, make dua, Hazrat, make dua. He was known, his duas were always accepted. He got ill. Very ill. Bimar ho gaye. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to visit him. What is his name, bhai? Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas. Very senior sahabi. So he came, Allah's Nabi came to him and he said to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, I'm going to be leaving this dunya soon now. Time has come, my departure. I have to go. So he said, I only have one daughter and one wife. One daughter and one wife. And Allah has given me a lot of wealth. I'm a rich man. So how much do you want me to leave for my wife and for my daughter? I will give them something, but then 100% of my wealth I want to give in the path of Allah. What did he say? 100%. When Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, he said, no, Sa'ad. No, no. He says, Ya Rasulullah, one daughter and one wife, two ladies, how much are they going to eat? Everything for you. No. He says, okay, 50%. I will give 50% of my wealth to Allah and His Rasul. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said no. Said no, you know what? Leave your family in a comfortable position. So he says, okay, Ya Rasulullah, please allow me to give 1/3 in the path of Allah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, okay, 1/3 is accepted. 1/3 is accepted. But you know what? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Sa'ad, you want to give 1/3? And you are telling me that you are about to die and pass away from this dunya. Subhanallah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, Sa'ad, you are not going to die. He is saying, I am going to die. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, you are not going to die. And Allah's Nabi said to him, in fact, Sa'ad, you will live to conquer Iran. What did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say to him? You will live to conquer Iran. Tere haath se Iran fata hoga. Are Allah. You will live to conquer Iran. Look at the yaqeen and iman they had upon the kalam of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Sadaqa Rasulullah. If my Nabi has said this, 100% it is right. And you know what happened? Hazrat Sa'ad radiallahu ta'ala went on to live for the entire khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. For the entire khilafat of Hazrat Umar Farooq. He was making a decision, I'm going to go. And Allah's Nabi said, no, no, your calculation ko choro, main Nabi hoon. Allah has, you know, informed him. You are still going to live. Not only live, you are going to conquer Iran. Persia. In 16 Hijri, Sun 16 Hijri, 16 Hijri. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala anz khilafat. Hazrat Sa'ad bin Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an conquered Iran for the Muslims. Persia. And he went on to live for how many years? Another 22 years after that. Another 22 years. So that is Sa'ad bin Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. But what is amazing is that Sa'ad bin Waqas in his latter part of life became blind. He became blind. So some of the people came to him and said, Sa'ad, people come to you to make dua and you make dua for them and Allah is giving shifa. Why don't you make dua for yourself? Now according to Shariat, it is absolutely fine, isn't it, to make dua for yourself. There's nothing wrong. Don't misunderstand this. There are certain individuals that at an individual level, not at a community level, not something that he would do or speak out in front of the congregation, but his connection and love for Allah. His connection and love for Allah. So he says, no, no. My Nabi has said that a person should be happy with whatever Allah has decreed for him in his taqdeer. And if Allah has decreed for me in my taqdeer that I should lose my sight, I am happy with that. Because that is what my Allah wants. Ajib. Halanki, if he made dua, it would have been different. But he didn't make dua. He says, no, no. Raza bil qaza. I am happy with the takdeer, whatever Allah has allocated for me. See, this is like when Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in the fire. Jibreel alayhi salam came running to him. Hazrat, give me permission and I will sort all the people that are here, gathered here, and they are, and this fire that is blazing. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's connection with Allah. He says, Jibreel, tell me, doesn't Allah know what is happening? So of course Allah knows everything. Says, did Allah command you to come to me and to ask me? He goes, no, no. I came by myself. So go. It is the will of Allah. So certain individuals, their level of taqwa, their level and connection with Allah is very unique. You know, shaitan might put in your mind, but there's nothing wrong with doing dawa and shifa and, you know, treating yourself. Yes, yes. For the common man, all that is jais. But there are certain people at an individual level, their connection, their level and rishta with Allah is such that, no, no, if this is what Allah wants from me, I am happy to accept this. Subhanallah al-Azim. So, Hazrat Sa'ad bin Abi Waqas radiyallahu ta'ala an is Fatih Iran. Hazrat Sa'ad, Allah opened up Iran by this man who went on to live all the way in the time of Hazrat Umar Farooq radiyallahu ta'ala an. Now I am going back. When we are looking at how Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'in was so successful, what was so unique about them, my respected brothers? See, they had certain qualities in them. Today we have qualities, but subhanallah, it is only outwardly. Only outwardly. But inside, those qualities are missing. There's a lot of things inside which is required that we should be doing islah of ourselves. So what had happened, there's another sahabi whose name is Amr ibn al-As. Amr ibn al-As. Who is Amr ibn al-As? radiallahu ta'ala. Anyone knows? He is the one who conquered Egypt. He conquered Egypt. Iran conquered by Sa'ad. Egypt conquered by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an came with the Muslim army in Egypt. Subhanallah. At the shore, this huge Muslim army was there, stationed. At that time, Muqawqis was the Egyptian king, Muqawqis. When Muqawqis saw that this Muslim army is in front of us, and they have the intention perhaps to conquer this region, what he did, he was a very intelligent man. So he wrote a letter to Amr ibn al-As. He said, give my letter to him, and he sent two ambassadors. And he says, go and meet him and give him my letter. So Muqawqis wrote a letter and the two ambassadors gave the letter to him. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an was reading the letter, and Muqawqis said in the letter that you have made a mistake coming here. Behind you is a very deep ocean. Behind you is a very deep ocean. And in front of you is a very deep river, River Nile. And you have come here with what intention? So he said, in any case, we the Egyptians are prepared to come into a peace agreement with you, to form an alliance. We are wanting to come into a peace agreement with you and accept this peace agreement, because really you don't have an advantage to fight us. Behind is the ocean, in front is also the River Nile, and the army is there. So when Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala an read this, see, I said Sahaba wa who, what were they? Mujahids. Not like what is happening today in India. When will the Indian Muslims get their act right? You know? All they do is complain. Oh, police inki, military inki, sardar or sub inka. Arey bhai, forget all that. Allah is with you. Islam does not teach a person to be a coward. What is it? Coward. No, no, no. The more you give in, the more you give in, the more the enemy will raise on top of you. Never. This has never been the sunnat in the Islamic empire, not once. Anyone can talk to me about this right now. I'm prepared to talk to them. Show me. Look at Sahaba. Look at all the Khilafat. A Muslim, he's not a coward. And we don't like to see Muslims to be in that position that are mocked. You rather become shaheed. You rather become shaheed. That is a better ending. That is a better ending. And there is no other way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown the people of Iman, mashallah, in many other parts of the world. We won't go into that khair. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala and said to the two ambassadors, I am not going to respond to this letter now. I want the two of you to wait for 2 days. You are our guest, mehman. Remember, an ambassador, he is treated with respect. So you will eat, you have a special tent, you can walk around, you can see the Muslims, there is nothing to hide here, mashallah, 2 complete days after that I will give you an answer. Ambassadors got happy. Muqawqis ke ambassador te. Anyway, after 2 days, the 2 ambassadors were called and Hazrat Amr ibn al-As wrote a letter and said, I want you to give this to Muqawqis. And in the letter, Hazrat Amr ibn al-As had written that you are saying that behind me is an ocean and in front of me is a river, deep river, and then there is also your army. I am saying to you, I am only giving you 2 options. Look at the Mujahid, look how Sahaba was. I am only giving you 2 options. They were not people who would walk softly like that. They were people who had their heads high. Only 2 options. The best option is that you become a Muslim and earn Jannah, because what you are doing is totally wrong. But anyway, if you don't become a Muslim, it's fine. There is no compulsion in Islam. Then you have to pay jizya. What do you pay?
Jizya.
Tax to the Muslim government, and the Muslim government will protect you. Because it is only Islam that can provide a just system to all of humanity. Not your democracy, not your any other, you know, ideology that is out there. It is only Islam that can give you a just system. And said, so if you are not prepared to pay jizya, then be prepared that we are marching into Egypt. When Muqawqis was given this letter, he could not believe his eyes when he was reading it. Who are these people? That they are in front of us, behind is an ocean, and they are talking that they are prepared to fight us. So Muqawqis was a clever man. He said, whoever is their leader, he is, subhanallah, very, very brave. And I have not seen a leader like that. So he said to the 2 ambassadors, tell me, they must have done a lot of preparations. They must have weapons of mass destruction. How about that? Kitna acha dialogue bol diya. Amr ibn al-As must have weapons of mass destruction like Saddam Hussein had. Bichara, Allah give him Jannah. So, you know, did you see in the tents weapons of mass destruction? I mean, how can a person say he's going to fight us? Coming to our house and saying he's going to fight us. How is that possible? So they said, no. We didn't see anything of the sort. So Muqawqis is saying, then what did you see? The scholars have written what the 2 ambassadors had seen in Sahaba are 7 qualities. 7 qualities. And this is the 7 qualities that we will quickly go through, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for them this entire dunya. So the 2 ambassadors said, number 1, they said, what is ajeeb about this Muslim army which we've never confronted ever? It's the first time, but we've heard of Muslims going everywhere. They said, Al-mawtu ahabbu ilayhim min al-hayati. What we saw in them is that death is beloved to them than life, than living. Now, how are you, the ambassadors are saying to Muqawqis, how are you going to fight a group of people who love death than life? For them, mort is nothing. They love death. They feel that, you know, even if we die, we are still victorious. Whatever happens, we are winners. Jobiho. And this was amazing. They did not have any connection with this dunya. They were prepared. They don't fear death. And today, what is happening with the Muslim world? Listen to me very carefully, my respected brothers. 90% of the Muslims in this dunya have got a disease that is called wahan. What is it? Wahan. 90%. 90%. And this has been mentioned by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was talking about the year 2023 and my life and your life this time. He said to the companions, a time will come upon my ummah that kuffar will be inviting one another and they will form an alliance and they will want to weaken the Muslims, like how you invite other people to the banquet, dastarkhan, and say, you also come and eat this and eat this and eat this. And they all share the platter. That is how the Muslims will be treated. That is how the Muslims will be treated. Allahu Akbar. Today when you go in the sports world also, everything is about Ukraine. Everything is about Ukraine. But Saudi Arabia, when you have all your sports tournaments that are there, you don't talk about Palestine. You are scared. But subhanallah, the European nation does not fear anyone. Openly giving weapons, openly saying you fight, everyone must give them money, you dare speak against Ukraine, it's like speaking against the LGBT community. But anybody speaks about Palestine, you've had it, you lose your job. And so this is what is going to happen. Allah's Nabi said that they will suffer from wahan. Muslim leaders will be scared. The Muslims of India will be scared. All Muslims, what is happening today in Pakistan, bichara, wo Imran Khan, the guy who opened up a cancer hospital for you, the guy who has been trying to help you, wallahi, I have not, you know, all my life I had this firm akida of this group of people of Pakistan. But now, my heart bleeds. Heart bleeds. Bichara. Where is the Muslim world today? Where is the Muslim world? Nothing. Anywhere you go, I said this, 90% of the people, they've got properties and wealth and chori and they've millions of and billions of pounds people have got. And so all chore. So Allah's Nabi is saying that Sahaba asked something ajeeb. This is, Ya Rasulullah, the Muslims will be defeated and they will cut the Muslims and humiliate the Muslims because we will be few in numbers. He says, no. You will be more in numbers. But you will suffer from wahan, a disease called wahan. What is that? And he said, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Love of dunya and fear of death. Love of dunya and fear of death. The same people who were saying about Imran Khan, hum uske baal ko chune nahi denge. Imran Khan ke baal ko, we will not allow you to touch his single hair. We are the people. Why, what did they do? They took him from his residence in front of you. They took him. But nothing happened. Nothing will happen. Because they are suffering from wahan. This is a serious disease. When the time comes to, you know, leave. The Sahaba-i Kiram Ajmaeen were not like that. That is why they were tested. They were tested. How were they tested? Hazrat Hussein's entire family was made shaheed. This is the test. Hazrat Hussein's entire family was made shaheed in Karbala. 10,000 sahaba were made shaheed, buried in Jannatul Baqi only. They were tested. It wasn't easy for sahaba-i-kiram ajma'in. So this dunya, people will be tested, my respected brothers. So khair, what had happened is that, what was I saying? They did not fear death. Sahaba did not fear death. And this was the difference. So the ambassadors are saying, you know, fighting them will be very difficult. Number two, التَّوَاضُعُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ الرَّفْعِ. They are very humble people. Sahaba, this army that we saw of Amr ibn al-As, very humble people. They have no arrogance in them. Simple people. And then the third quality, لَيْسَ لَكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا رَغْبًا لَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا رَغْبًا. We saw none of them have got any inclination with dunya. They have no inclination with dunya. This is the Muslim army that they are talking about. And then number four, subhanallah, innama julusuhum fit turabi. They are so simple that they sit on the ground. They sit on the ground. There is no takalluf for them. No formality, no luxury. وَأَمِيرُهُمْ كَوَاحِدٍ مِّنْهُمْ. And when you look at their leader, Amr ibn al-As, he is just one from amongst all of them. That equality is there. And then they said that what we saw was amazing, is that any time it was the time for Salah, they would leave everything for Salah. They would rush and quickly stand in Salah. This was something amazing we saw. And then the seventh quality they said is that they were very, very clean people. And how were they clean? They said all we saw was them washing their hands and face and washing their feet all the time. And that means they were doing what? Wudu. These were the seven qualities identified by the non-Muslim ambassadors that were there. And the scholars have mentioned this in the books of Tariq, that this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given the Muslims victory wherever we went. And so this is something very important. My respected brothers, what is important for us nowadays that we have to be very proud Muslims. We should be very, very proud Muslims. Anything about Islam, Islamic values, we should not be shy. This is number one priority. Everything about our deen is important. And alhamdulillah, understand Islam, learn about Islam, and have this great love for Sahaba-i-Kiram ajma'in and the deen of Islam, and make dua all the time that Allah take khidmat of me, take khidmat from me, that I can serve the deen of Islam, and make dua for this ummah, that Allah take away from us this disease of wahan. And once this disease of wahan is out, my respected brothers, then inshallah you will see that it will be totally different. So the one thing that the Muslim Ummah is not, is Muslim is not a coward. When you walk with dignity and honor, and alhamdulillah, aise chalo ke samne wala bhi marroob ho jayegi, yaar, kaun chal raha. This is something very important. Wherever you are, defend your rights, defend your deen, of course with wisdom, with hikmat, with good character, not going blindly out and lashing onto people. This is totally wrong. My lecture to you is because we are people of Iman, and we share that sentiment and that love that we have of our history and how Sahaba-i-Kiram ajma'in wa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. For a few minutes, brothers, inshallah, if you can close your eyes and we can cleanse the heart and do muraqabah, inshallah. This is also one very powerful form of zikr. So inshallah, think very deep in the heart that the heart is taking the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.